the early days of Devon, then when you came back, how many employees? How did you begin?
We started with 4.5 employees. We shared a receptionist with another firm, so we were a tiny outfit.
How did you begin to grow? Was that through acquisitions?
Yeah, the plan was to buy producing oil and gas properties. We bought our first one, an interest in 5 fields that we closed in September of 1971.
What was that?
The Curry Field, a Smackover Field in Texas.
What kind of money are we talking about for that first acquisition?
Oh, we borrowed a little over $1 million and raised about $1.2 million. It took us a good part of a year to get that done.
You and your father then out securing funds for this?
Flying all around Europe, raising the money, borrowing money from a bank in Dallas, the Republic National Bank at the time.
That had to be kind of a big deal for you to make that first purchase.
That was a big deal, but you know, it wasn't enough to make the company survive, and we bought a small one in 1972 and then a larger one, a $25, $26 million acquisition in 1973.
I'm going to jump ahead on some of these. In 81, you acquired the first interest in the San Juan Basin of New Mexico?
Well, actually, the San Juan Basin of New Mexico is the field that my father discovered in 1950. So we had a small interest in that in Blackwood Nichols. When coal and methane became attractive, Devon had taken over operations of that partnership. And we realized that the technology was changing, and really Devon and Conoco and Burlington Resources were the three firms in 1988 that realized you could figure out a way to get gas out of these coal formations.
So then you talk about new technology. Were you then talking about horizontal drilling?
No, not yet.
What was that procedure then that was new to that era?
Let me tie those two together. What we realized during that period was really it was a real learning experience building up our interest in the San Juan Basin, because we really saw two things. One, unlike what most people thought, that all the oil and gas had been discovered of any size or consequence in the United States, we realized that new technology was teaching us how to get oil and gas out of old fields and old areas, that there was a real opportunity there. And secondly, we saw that the majors were not paying much attention to the United States. We could compete with companies like Amoco, a large company, but we would see an opportunity in the San Juan Basin at the same time Amoco would. But by the time that proposal had gone through their bureaucracy all the way up to Chicago and then come all the way back down, we'd have already done the deal. And they were small little deals, but we could just move a whole lot faster than some of the large bureaucratic companies of the day like Amoco.
Were you banking on new technology would come about, or you knew it was in line so that it would help?
We knew it was there for coal bed methane. That made us think that there's got to be technology that continues. We did not know what it would be or when it would occur, but technology has resurrected the oil and gas business decade after decade after decade. And you can go back in time. When I was taking one of my first courses in geology, one of the professors cited a learned governmental study right after World War I that said all the oil and gas in the world has been discovered and it's in irreversible decline. Every decade or so, some professor, some government study predicts the inevitable decline. President Jimmy Carter did it. We discovered all the natural gas that there was, and therefore we need to regulate this commodity as it goes away. For 100 years, literally 100 years, that has been disproved time and time again. And in 1978, when we decided to go public, we looked at what was happening in coal formations and had this belief that new technology would evolve, and if we were attuned to it, that Devon could be one of the leaders in taking that new technology and building a good-sized company with it.
That's pretty admirable. Banking on new technology, did you have to sell that idea to investors?
Well, at the time, it was easy to sell because Devon was growing rapidly and they could see what we were doing as a small company in coal bed methane. Some believed it long-term and others didn't.
Would you call yourself a gambler?
No, I wouldn't call myself a gambler, no.
These moves that you made weren't major gambles. They were well-thought-out plans.
Because we were buying producing properties, we were drilling for oil and gas in a conservative way. We did not have an over-leveraged balance sheet, so we weren't betting the ranch on something that did not yet exist.
What year did you go public?
We went public in 1988.
So then in that period of time, latter part of the 80s, first part of the 90s, you made some acquisitions in that period leading up to this first major acquisition.
Yeah. Starting in 1971, we did our first acquisition. we did small drilling deals at the time. We did some public drilling funds from 1978 to 1982, 83, when we had the crash. We then looked around the world in the late 80s and saw the technology coming in the San Juan Basin. We saw that the majors had left the United States. We saw the opportunity to do some consolidation. At that time, there were 400 publicly traded oil and gas companies in the United States. I have never found any other industry that had 400 publicly traded entities. Not then, not now. Never found anyone who can tell me where there are 400. The reason those companies had gone away, banks were no longer making loans to those entities because of the depression we had in the mid-80s. The public drilling funds and income funds that my father had started in 1950, the tax underpinnings for those had gone away with the Tax Reform Act of 1986. So you had this morass of 400 publicly traded companies and a lot of smaller ones that their financial source of revenue had been severely damaged. And as we saw this new technology with the coalbed methane and believed that new technology would come along, we thought, you know, we actually have done acquisitions as a private company. If we go public, then we'll have greater opportunity to do acquisitions as a public company. So we went public in 1988. A small company. On a good day, we had a market cap of $75 million. And we're told by investment bankers of the day that if you get to be about $200 million, you'll really be there. I never was sure what being there was. But, of course, that number that you had to have gradually went up over the years. And today, we're a $25 billion market cap company.
What kind of money was involved in that Hondo Oil and Gas Company purchase?
That was a major acquisition. We were looking for opportunities in the Permian Basin. Hondo had been formed by one of the former CEOs of ARCO, Atlantic Richfield, who bought some properties with him and formed that, Robert O. Anderson. It was a little over $100 million transaction that we worked on for a considerable period of time, and it doubled the size of the company.
A real simple question. How do you make an approach on an oil company like this or any of the others that we'll talk about? Or do you hear it in the business they're for sale? Or how does that simply begin?
Most of the time, it begins with personal knowledge and personal contact, which I worked very hard to develop and see. If you wait until a company hires an investment banker and they shop into the world, it's awfully hard to do a competitive deal. If you look at all of our acquisitions, you can see a common thread where companies where partners don't get along. A company like Mitchell, which we did decades later, where George Mitchell and his colleagues had developed a new technology. Most people did not recognize that it was there. And the management team of Mitchell were all 65 years old, plus or minus a year. So you could look at that company and say, they either have to go create a whole new management team and raise a lot of money to develop what they've worked on, or they need to sell the company. And we think we can tell them what we can do and merge them into us as a merger, let them continue to be shareholders, which George Mitchell today is still a major shareholder of Devon's, and participate in the upside of what we have and what they have.
But part of your model was not to carry much debt.
There have been a few times in our life that we got leverage, but our plan was to get out of that as fast as we can. The real learning experience for that was in the mid-'80s. In the early 80s, we had ended up with a large acreage position in western Oklahoma that actually led to probably the only difficult board meeting we ever had because we had one of the hottest plays at the time, this is in 81, 82, was the Deep Anadarko Basin. And in fact, there was an article in Forbes magazine that described how each of the major oil companies had really gotten big at some time in the past with one field. Or one area, how they'd had one idea that had catapulted them above the crowd. The article then described the Deep Anadarko Basin and the upside there, and it concluded with this great tantalizing thought that there's some major companies in the making in the Deep Anadarko. And several of our directors arrived with visions of stardom in their head about how they were going to be directors of a major company, Devon, in the making. And the first thing we had on the agenda was the sale of a major part of what we had in the Deep Anadarko Basin. We bought this for, I've forgotten the numbers, but it was something like $170 an acre, and we were selling it for $5,200 an acre. plus 50% back in after payout. So 50% of the profits on any successful well we got. That struck us as a no-lose deal. And after everyone thought about it, they realized that was the right thing to do. We sold that. We paid off the debt we had. Of the 8 transactions we made to various companies who way overpaid, in our view, for these assets, 7 of them went bankrupt. I'm sorry it was them, but I'm glad it wasn't us, because we took that and paid off all our debt so that when the crush came in 83, 4, and 5, we had zero debt. And there have been a few other times when we levered up, but it was only when we had a very clear, a very precise plan with a very short time fuse to get out of debt.